From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, January 2nd. I'm Jonathan Aul. An inconspicuous insect is changing what survival looks like as climate change remains a threat.
And what we found here was that while warmer temperatures reduced survival, they actually increased your ability to produce eggs.
A new St. Louis University study examines how rising heat is boosting fertility for treehoppers. That conversation coming up on The Gateway. UnitedHealthcare and SSM reached a last-minute temporary deal that will keep St. Louis area residents from losing health coverage. The insurer and regional hospital system signed a 30-day extension on New Year's Eve. That will guarantee 140,000 patients will continue to get in-network rates at SSM facilities. The contract had been set to expire at midnight on Wednesday. The contract will lay out how much United reimburses for medical services. SSM has said medicine has gotten pricier to administer, but United has said SSM's proposals were too much. The temporary agreement will give both companies time to further negotiate a multi-year deal. The St. Louis County Prosecutor's Office says it hopes a new focus on cases where healthcare workers are attacked will reduce the amount of violence they face in the future. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman reports.
Prosecuting attorney Melissa Price-Smith launched the Hospital Violence Unit about a year ago. A big focus of its first year was convincing healthcare workers to file police reports and police departments to bring the cases to state court rather than municipal. Federal statistics from 2023 found that although healthcare workers make up just 10% of the labor force, they experience 48% of the non-fatal injuries from workplace violence. Price-Smith says the unit is not targeting individuals whose neurological or mental health status makes them unaware of what happened.
I'm talking about the individuals who are in the emergency room who are inpatient, so decide to take a swing.
The attorney leading the unit says he has handled at least 50 cases. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
Pregnancy-related deaths have increased among Illinois women, according to a new report from the Illinois Department of Public Health that analyzed data from 2021 and 2022. On average, each of those years saw 110 women die while they were pregnant or within a year of giving birth. Pregnancy-related mortality in Illinois was higher in those 2 years than in the two-year periods that came before. Fewer than half of those deaths were due to pregnancy-related causes such as blood clots or hemorrhaging. Black women were more than twice as likely to die from any pregnancy-related condition. The state's health department found that most pregnancy-related deaths could have been prevented. Substance use disorders remain the leading cause of pregnancy-related deaths. Flu activity is increasing in the United States, and the St. Louis region is no exception. Missouri's Department of Health and Senior Services reports that in the week ending December 20th, the rate of positive flu cases shot up 16%. Illinois health officials report hospitalizations due to the flu are also increasing there. It's not unusual for cases to increase as people gather for winter holidays. Federal health officials say the activity is expected to continue for several weeks. Researchers say that this year's vaccine may be mismatched with the currently circulating flu type, but vaccinations can still keep people from getting dangerously sick. Illinois American Water says it completed $157 million worth of upgrades at its Metro East Water Treatment Facility this year. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports the East St. Louis facility provides drinking water to a population of 350,000 people.
The treatment plant is located along the Mississippi River in East St. Louis. The facility provides water to towns like Belleville, East St. Louis, and Swansea directly. O'Fallon, Fairview Heights, and Scott Air Force Base also buy water from the same plant. It processes approximately 39 million gallons of water every day. The upgrades started in 2019. They include constructing new storage tanks and wells, putting in new water pumps, and adding new treatment methods. In a statement, Illinois American Water President Rebecca Losley says the improvements will ensure safe, clean, and reliable drinking water. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Anyone interested in the music of Dolly Parton or John Coltrane or Simon & Garfunkel? There's a new place to hear it live, Powell Hall, home of the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra. Newly announced tributes to those artists are part of the symphony's efforts to attract new audiences. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports.
That's Atlanta influencer Tani Lior adding flavor to the work of SLSO violist Michael Kazimir. Marketing chief Unity Crowell says the SLSO's foundation of longtime subscribers is crucial, but social media is one place to lure new generations of ticket buyers.
We've been successful in lowering the average age, not to say that there's anything wrong with who's already coming, but we certainly see a lot of young audiences getting excited about classical music.
She says more than half of ticket buyers overall are Gen X or younger. Other initiatives include a newly introduced classical concert for teens. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
December brought a new wave of restaurants to the St. Louis region, but some looked a bit familiar. The London Tea Room opened in DeBolivar Place after a dispute with its Downtown West landlord forced it to close in 2024. Also last month, the Scottish Arms returned to the same storefront in the Central West End. Daytime Cafe Songbird opened in a larger home on Morgan Ford Road, and Taco Buddha opened its third location in a converted Botanical Heights service station that used to hold Olio. To see the full list of openings and find out what spots closed, visit stlpr.org. Climate change is redefining what survival means for some insects. A new St. Louis University study examined treehoppers, a thorn-like insect half the size of a single pea. Researchers found that even as rising temperatures decreased the survival of juvenile insects, it also unexpectedly boosted the fertility in adults. St. Louis Public Radio's Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson spoke with SLU biology professor and study co-author Casey Fowler Finn about how these critters are adapting to the heat.
What you're hearing is a duet between a male and female treehopper at roughly 90 degrees Fahrenheit. This is one way the rising global heat is affecting their behavior.
It all relies on muscle contractions, and the warmer it is, the faster your muscles contract. So the songs all changed in pitch.
That's SLU biology professor Casey Fowler Finn.
So instead of, like, let's say it's 70 degrees Fahrenheit, it's boo, 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 boo. At 90 degrees, it's whoop, whoop. It's really dramatic.
Fowler Finn and a team of researchers studied how Missouri treehoppers are responding to the heat and how it's affecting their survival.
Typically, we think about temperature affecting most things kind of in the same way. And what we found here was that while warmer temperatures reduced survival, they actually increased your ability to produce eggs. And so that was a little bit surprising.
Is climate change just not the villain in this case, but perhaps the key to the survival?
Regardless, climate change is not a good thing. So this is more of a story of resilience and predicting what species and populations are going to be resilient and which are not. And so I think the story really shifts our perspective from looking just at, do animals survive temperatures, to can they thrive? Can they actually reproduce at those temperatures?
Treehoppers can't regulate their body temperature. From what you've found, how are they evolving to make that possible to survive?
These guys do show some behavior in response to extreme temperatures. So typically, they don't do a whole lot to regulate their body temperature at all, unless it's really physiologically stressful. So anything over about 36 degrees Celsius is physiologically stressful for these animals. And at that point, they'll jump off the branch that they're on in hopes of finding a better branch that's maybe a little bit cooler. And it turns out the reason why they only do this when it's really, really hot is that the trees that they live on are so thermally variable. It's really hard to predict if I move a centimeter in this direction, is it going to be 5 degrees hotter, 5 degrees colder, or the same?
Why is it important for them to survive?
In general, insects are really key players in ecosystems. And we know that bird declines are tied very tightly with insect declines, and ecosystem functioning is tied very tightly with insect declines. Insects represent over 70% of species of animals on this planet. And they do all sorts of things like decompose things, they pollinate, they can get rid of natural predators, they can be natural predators. And once you start taking those out, it's kind of like Jenga. You know, you start destabilizing the system, and at some point it's going to collapse. And insects really play that integral role in maintaining a healthy ecosystem.
That was SLU biology professor Casey Fowler Finn speaking with STLPR's Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson about how rising temperatures are redefining survival for treehoppers. That piece was edited by me. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. We are a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. I'm Jonathan All, and from the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this has been The Gateway. Abby Larico will be back on Monday.